Romans chapter 7. We're looking at Jehovah Nisi this morning. I want us to see something here in Romans 7 first. Got an email from Mike this morning. Him and Karen's doing well. And his phone isn't working down on where they're at, but Karen's is. So I hadn't heard from him. I was half worried, but a little note letter goes a long way right when you need it, doesn't it? Here in Romans 7, we've been looking at the names of our Lord. Capital L-O-R-D, all capitals. Lord Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the self-existent one. We started looking at Jehovah Jireh. The Lord gave us that story there of Abraham, sacrificing his only son. His only son, the one he loved, Isaac. And the Lord provided. He provided. I understand that. I need provision. I can get a hold of that. Look, last week, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals thee. I need healing. I'm sick. I'm lame. I'm blind. I'm deaf. I got a heart of stone that needs to be healed. I need the Lord to heal me. Here in a couple of weeks, we'll be looking at Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I'm like terrible waters. Scatters. All the time, just spun up. So easy. I need Him to be my peace. That's what I need. Jehovah Raya, the Lord's my shepherd. I ain't got enough good sense to go anywhere. I don't know what to do. I need lead. That's a new heart that needs lead. A proud, self-righteous, stiff-necked people says, I'll do it myself. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. I'm a child. I don't know what I ought to know, and I need Him to lead me. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. I have no righteousness. I can't get no righteousness by the law. I need Him to be my righteousness. I need His righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord's present. This one that provides for me. He heals me. He's my peace. He leads me. He's my righteousness. I want Him with me. I don't want to be far off. We got a president on the other side of the country that I don't talk to. I don't know nothing. I know something about him. I met him once or twice, but I ain't seen him again. I want one that's with me. I want to be with Him. From a young man, I understood these characteristics of the Lord. Logically, you could see there's a need for that in comparison to His Word, isn't it? But why Jehovah Nisi? Why do I need a banner? The Lord our banner. Why do I need that? I heard a lot about this growing up. Why do I need to learn about this? Why do our children need to know Jehovah Nisi? Why do the young folks need to know Jehovah our banner? Before we see why we need a banner, what is it? What's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner? It's a flag. It's an ensign. A guidon is what we called an army. It's also called a badge. And when I was in the military, I worked for the 1st Infantry Division. I was in Germany, and I went to war with them. I come back, and I went and taught in Kentucky for a couple of years. I ended up in Kansas, and the 1st Infantry Division had moved. I was back with them, and I left to deploy with them again. And I had their badge on me. That's who I was with. I had a badge. And we had flags. And in a military, in a unit, in drill and ceremony, there's someone called a guidon bearer. And there's a command of preparation and a preparatory command and a command of execution. The Marines have them too. The Navy don't. I checked with our local experts this morning. But before they say, you're going to do a right face, they'd say right. And they'd shove that flag up there in case the boys in the back couldn't hear. And they'd say, well, something's about to happen. Look at that flag. And then it moves. They're going to present arms. They'd present. And the arms, they'd drop that flag down. They'd say, all right, we need to do this. And they'd put our hand up. If we couldn't hear, they could see it. That's it. Where do you rally on the battlefield? There's chaos, confusion everywhere. Blood's flying. It's slippery. You look for that flag. Knowing that flag's still there. Knowing our friends are still with us. Our command is still over us. That's our banner. That's our guidon. Our flag. And we sang a song about that, don't we? I don't know if I do anymore. We sang about our flag in this country. Though the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. The rockets bursting in air. They just come out with those. Bombs bursting in the air. It was something new. Flashing out in the light. There's a flag. It's all lost. They're just writing that because we're dead. We have no hope. Oh, we have hope. There's a flag. That's what the flag is. It's an ensign, a guide on, a badge. Why does a child of God need a banner? Why do we need a flag? We're at war. We're at war. A believer doesn't wake up that morning after God works in their heart, understanding all of our needs. We don't know that we need a banner. We don't know that we need a flag. I had to go to war as an adult to understand about these guidons, about these swallow-tailed flags. I have this information. And you don't have to go to Eastern Europe in our day. You don't have to go to the Middle East. You don't have to go to Africa, Ethiopia, Civil War, to understand these things. An unregenerate person may go to a carnal war, and they may have seen some strong internal conflicts during that within themselves. But a child of God's at war. I've been to war. I ain't there no more. A child of God is at war right now in this world that we're in. The world hates you. Right now, you might get along fine, and you start telling about what man is and who God is and our only hope of salvation. All of a sudden, we'll agree to disagree. That's hating. Don't seem like I'm not slapping you in the face. But they'll say, you stop talking about that. I don't want to hear it. That's a war. And if not in this world, in our own bodies. If I don't hear another voice on this earth, there's a war going on right here inside of my body. There in Romans 7, verse 23, Paul experienced this, that great apostle who labored more than them all. He said in Romans 7, 23, "But I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." Are you at war? Do you have days where you're absolutely miserable and tore up? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to look. You don't have any commands given you to lead you or guide you or anything like that. You're just a wreck. Are you wretched? Paul was. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" That's a good place to be. People that ain't got no rough waters, buddy, I pray the Lord's rough on them. A place in some trials, shake you up. If you're comfortable, I want you to be disturbed. Why? That way, whenever God disturbs you, you can be comforted. There ain't no comfort apart from Him. And Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this death, from this war that I'm living in?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I bow to Christ. Good place to be, isn't it? I have a flag. I have a banner. I look to Him. I bow to Him. In a war, you need armor and weapons, don't you? It's been a while since we looked at that. There in Ephesians 6, Paul writes to that church at Ephesus, and he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." We're not out there, though we may. We're not out there taking up our causes in this world, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're at war. You need to put the armor on. What's the spiritual wickedness in high places? What's the highest place on me? Right there. This mind. This head born of Adam. This old man that lives with me. That's evil in high places, isn't it? And he says you take on the whole armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, having a breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready to run, telling people how peaceful Christ is, what He's done for us, what He's accomplished. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You put on a helmet. You gird your loins, put your shoes on, grab your shield for those fiery darts, and pray. Calling out to Him constantly. All perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for yourself and pray for those at that war with you. We're fellows in the same ship. Right here. When you're about to go to war and feelings arise at some point, I ain't cut out for this. You may do your job, but there'll come a time you say, this ain't for me. I ain't able to do this. And you're right. You're right. We are no match for our adversary. We're in the war. We're fighting the battles inward and outward in this world. But for those Christ shed His blood for, the fight's already accomplished. We're in it right now. But our warfare has a determined and sure end. Do you know that? We're in this war. And He told the prophet Isaiah, He said, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak to her heart and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished. Your iniquities pardoned. You've received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Who did this fighting? We're in the war right now, but it's already determined. It's already finished. We're going to go through the motions. We're going to have to go through it. It's going to have to physically take place in ourselves. Who did the fighting? We're in it. We're troubled on all sides in this war. But someone else did the fighting, didn't they? Moses, we just looked in Exodus last week. That great song of Moses, just before those waters were made sweet, Moses sings this song. And he says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord's His name. This Lord, we're learning His names. We're learning about Him. He's a man of war. This isn't a sweet little old grandpa that floats up on a cloud and brushes off sin underneath the rug. He's a man, and he's a man of war. And he's a victor. Turn over to Joshua 6. Joshua 6. I thought this was precious. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Sixth book. Joshua 6. I'm sorry, Joshua 5. I need something to look to. I wrote down Joshua 6 book, and I just said Joshua 6. Sometimes even when I'm looking, I look at the wrong thing. Joshua 5, verse 13. Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. That's a man of war. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? He said, nay. Which is it? You answer me. No. Nay. Well, who are you? But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. The captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. This man of war is a captain. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? If you're his servant, what did God say to you? Tell me. And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He took his shoes off. Why? That captain bearing a sword from the Lord of hosts said, take your shoes off, this place is holy. And he listened, didn't he? Joshua listened. That's such an amazing thing to me. How do we have this banner given to us? This one is a captain of our salvation. David said, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. He said, you pause and think about that. The Lord gave us a banner. Those that fear Him, those that obey, that it may be displayed because of the truth. We don't hide it underneath the napkin, do we? We get that light. We don't put a candle with a basket over top of it. It's going to be displayed. And it's the Lord's doing. Isaiah wrote, and He shall set up an ensign for the nations. He's going to set a banner up for His nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. Who's this banner for? Who's this captain for? Outcasts of Israel. That make you mad? That tickles me to death. It's for outlaws, rebels. And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What a precious thing. I'm not a priest. This is one you can bow to. This man of war. This captain of our salvation. This banner, flag that we look to for leadership and everything. This is one you can bow to. I'm not a priest. And you all encourage me to I don't know what to pray for if you don't tell me. We got a brother now that's having some trouble, and I pray for him. Lord, be with him. Give him grace to go through this trial and show them Christ in it. And on top of those things, if you will, make it easy on them. Take that pain away or whatever it is, you know. We ask for those things. But I don't run a prayer service. I'm not a priest. You somebody coming to me and saying, you pray for this and you pray for that and you pray for this. You ain't going to get no different result than I am. You don't come to me with those things. People do that on TV and they charge a fee, don't they? No, you ask God for that. Pray God give me a word for you too. While you at it. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. There's a big difference in that. I'm not to be worshipped. I'm not to be bowed to. And I've told people that plainly. You bow to God. You go to Him. It's a good thing. I'll pray with you, but you go to Him. I'm no mediator. Cornelius came to that Apostle Peter in Acts 10. He fell at his feet and he worshipped him. And Peter said, "Get up." What's wrong with you? He said, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." What is wrong with you? Paul had experienced this. What are you doing? Get up. You don't bow to me. That angel was speaking to John in Revelations. And he said to me, "Right, blessed are they which called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." That angel came and prophesied to John and said, "Those that are at that marriage supper, they're blessed. God blessed them." And John, that apostle, he fell at the feet to worship him. And that angel spoke and said unto him, "Don't you do that. See that thou doest that not. I'm thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God," he said. That great angel said, "Don't you do that. I'm here with you. We're just pointing to Him. Worship Him. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Him. That's who we speak of. This one told Joshua. This angel of the Lord came bearing a sword, this man of war, this captain. And he said, "You take your shoes off. You're worshiping Him. You take your shoes off. This is holy ground." And he did. Who do you think it's talking about? Is this some apostle? Nope. Is this some just seraphim or cherubim? Nope. This is the Lord. Joshua bowed to him, worshiping him, and he said, "You go take your shoes off. And what you're doing is unclean. This is the captain of our salvation." That's what we read in Hebrews 2. "For it became Him," Christ our Lord, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings." Why do we need it? Why do we need a banner? We're at war. Why else? The war is accomplished. And we need reminded of that. I need reminded of that often. I'm in the middle of this war and it's finished. The victory has been declared. How else could I get through it? How, if the Lord didn't sustain me and give me His Son to look at in this battle in this flesh that I live in, how could I survive? I think of World War II often there in London, them getting bombed. It's so easy for us to read a book or watch a documentary and say, "Oh, that must have been rough." We know the outcome, don't we? They didn't. Right now over in the Eastern Europe, there's a war raging. People's dying. There's bodies in the streets. They don't know how that's going to end. We don't either. 20 years from now, we look back and say, "Oh, that's probably pretty rough on them, I guess. I could imagine that." We didn't live through it. Right now in this body of death we walk through, this war that's raging in my members, I know how the outcome is. You that have a war, I know the outcome. You just got a little skirmish and, we got some hiccups every now and then. I don't know the outcome. I don't know about that. But you're tore apart. A war-torn country. Bombs going off inside of you. I know the outcome. You got an old man, a new man. God saved you. That angel was speaking to John. He didn't wrongfully bow to him, but this one's worth bowing to. Now, what does Nisi mean? Banner. Better question is, who's our banner? That's the Lord's name, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is our banner. We see Christ so plainly in so many of these people in our text. And I'm excited for the day we go through Exodus. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be blessed. And we're going to go slow. It's going to take us a long time to get through Exodus. Probably a couple years before we even get there. But let's look at it. Exodus 17. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. I want to touch on some of these. Hopefully I won't dwell too much time on them. So many pictures of our Lord here and what He's done for us. Exodus 17, verse 8. Exodus 17:8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Who's Amalek? That's a descendant of Esau. That's our enemy. Those that aren't like us. Those that aren't chosen of God. Loved of God. This is the one hated of God. Amalek. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. You choose out men after your own heart, Joshua. You go to battle. Tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Moses pictures the holy law of God. Moses is a type and picture of the law. Joshua, that's Jesus. A Hebrew name, Joshua, is the same as Jesus in Greek. That's our Savior. That's who that is. That law required some things. It demanded some things. And our Joshua, Jesus our Lord, our perfect substitute, He did as the law said. You see that? He's going to make a whole message out of that one passage. Joshua did as Moses had said unto him. Our Lord fulfilled the law. He kept it. And he fought with the adversary while keeping it. While in obedience, he obeyed the law and he accomplished our warfare. That's what he did. Another picture here. While Joshua went to choose those men to physically fight, Moses, the law, was going to go up on a hill, apart from everybody else. Aaron, the high priest, was going to go with him. That's the one that made the sacrifices. That's the one that was covered in blood, our high priest. And Hur was going with him. I looked up Hur. You know what that means? A hollowed out place, a bore in the rock, a cleft in the rock. Hur, here goes the law, the sacrifice, and the surety. Up in a mountain. Who do you think that typifies? Up this mountain, high above us, the law, the sacrifice, and the security went together. It says in verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When that rod was exalted, lifted up high, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. The rod of the Lord. What was that? What was it that Moses was holding up? That's Aaron's rod. You remember whenever he needed a sign to go in front of Pharaoh, and the Lord told Moses, if you take Aaron's rod, his staff, and you throw it down on the ground, it's going to become a serpent. Remember that? And all those magicians and sorcerers, they threw their rods down. They became serpents too, didn't they? And this one ate all the other ones. That was a serpent, wasn't it? That rod of Aaron was a serpent. That's what it was pictured as. Christ, the Lord, our banner. He's the serpent lifted up high in the wilderness, isn't he? Look to him and live. We've seen that in it. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's got the rod. He's lifting it up. When he's exalted, when he's looked at, there's victory. Victory all around. Talk about having confidence. And he's that rod. That's what the Old Testament says. He's the rod out of the stem of Jesse. That's our Lord he's lifting up. When we see that, when we see Christ, our banner, lifted, when we see that accomplished work of our salvation, the warfare's already finished. It's set. We prevail. Can you breathe a little better? All the worries and woes, whether it's carnal, worldly things, or it's spiritual, you don't feel like you're a child of God. When you look to Christ, where He is now, exalted, getting all the glory, as He should. Amen. Do you prevail? You grin a little bit? You got a little breathing room? We prevail, don't we? When we don't see Him high and lifted up. What, they're down there underneath this mountain fighting. Look to that, and you're just swinging away. Easy swinging, isn't it? And whenever you don't look to that high and lifted up, and you're fighting one another, and you're fighting yourself, and you're looking to yourself, and you're looking at that enemy in front of you, what happens? Amalek prevails. Those that are hated by God, not loved of God, they prevail. They overcome us. Doesn't matter if that's just this world, this whole world, this evil one, that's our adversary or my old man. When the war is raging and the Lord's not exalted, I'm losing. And I know it. He says in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. He sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Moses, the law, his hands were heavy. He got weary, didn't he? I thought of Romans 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. This picture is weak, isn't it? Moses was weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That war he won, you'll wear the crown of victory for. How's that? That law, Moses, he was set on a stone. Christ is our cornerstone. He's our foundation. He's the one who gave it. Gave that law. He ordained it. And on one side of him, he's sitting on Christ the rock. On one side's Aaron. That holy law we offended is our, here's our Redeemer, our sacrifice, our propitiation, an acceptable bloody sacrifice, the work of the Lord. Here's that law sitting on the Lord, established on him. And one side, the work of Christ our Redeemer is upholding him. On the other side, her. That law upheld by the cleft in the rock. Our security, our shelter in the time of the storm. That's the person of our Lord. What upholds that law we offended? It's seated on Christ. It's upheld on one side by His person and upheld on the other side by His work. And it's all exalting Him. He's the rod above. His person and His work. That's our hope. We ought to see that, certainly. We can prevail. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. They were gutted. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. This ain't a historical action that took place. And like, okay, we learned that. We passed the test. Let's go on. We have discipleship programs we need to get into. And we got community outreach programs. We got to feed the homeless and train these kids up how to color and read. He said, you rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. In us. We need to hear this over and over and over again. God is holy. That law is holy. And we broke it from the time we were conceived until the sun went down. Till our life's over. And Christ is our only hope. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord, our banner, that flag lifted high up, commanding us, giving us direction, giving us comfort in the heat of battle, looking to Him. For He said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Tell us over and over to Joshua, because this is going to take place. The Lord is going to be at war from generation to generation. How long is that? Every generation from Adam to the last child of God being called to our Lord on this earth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. The war is going to rage. You think that didn't happen to Adam and Eve? They had a whole lot less sin than I did. A lot better looking on the outside. Knew so much more brilliant. They had a war within them. What about that? What if it's thousands of years from now? What about that last child? That last sinner saved by grace? You know what's going to happen to them? There's going to be a war going on. And the Lord's going to be that person's banner. Just as He's my banner, just as He's Moses' banner, and Joshua's banner, and everybody else's banner. From generation to generation. And the Lord's going to defeat our foes. And He's going to defeat this old, stony heart that's in me. That I was born with. And He's going to give me a hard flesh. What about that next one? Something going to be different? Mm-mm. It's exactly the same. The preaching of the gospel. Tell men and women what we are. We can't win without Him. All hope is gone in and of ourselves. Christ is our hope. Here's the flag. Look at Him. Rally to Him. Cleave to Him. Have hope in Him. He's our banner. Nothing's going to change from generation to generation. Why? He's a flag worth flying. He's a flag worth... We have protocols that people don't adhere to in this nation anymore. There's flags up and down our road, and I about put a sign up saying, take care of, take down. I fought for that thing. It's nighttime. You better have a light on it. Let it touch the ground and drape. Get winds whipping it around. It's all tattered looking. We got enough sense as Americans to go out, fix that. What's wrong with you? We'll attend to it, don't we? That flag is worth flying. It's worth taking care of. Lord gave it to us. Put us in this country. We're born here. How much more Jehovah Nisi? How much more Christ our banner? We ought to care for His gospel. Care for His brethren. Those that He laid His life down for. Honor it. Honor His word. I love that article, Bruce. I think I'm going to reference it in the next message too. I sent it with the bulletin this week. But for our children, his mother ate vegetables when he was a little child. She didn't make him. And as he got older, he didn't eat vegetables. And he thought, you know, my dear mother ate vegetables. And it served her well. I think I'm going to eat some vegetables. And he said, you mommies and daddies, you can't make your children consume the gospel. You can't make them believe Christ and look to him. But if they see how much you love it, they see how committed you are to it, they see how much it's benefited you, they may say when they get older, well, maybe I'll taste that gospel. And it might be delicious to them. The Lord may use it that way, isn't it? Jehovah Nisi, our banner. I pray I could fly only that banner. What unit you with? Him. Well, what's y'all's tactics? Him. How you going to win the battle? Him. What's your training process? Him. All of it. He's our banner. Amen.